Hello and welcome to Radio Retail with me, your host, William Madison. On this, the first podcast of the new year, we're taking a look back and a look forward. First off, we'll be talking to BRC Insights senior analyst, James Hardiman, on how things have fared over the Christmas period. Once we've delved into the past, we're going to be looking to the future with Matt Clark from Alex Partners. In a wide-ranging conversation, we'll be discussing what markers can help your business strategy in 2022, customer trends he thinks will stick, and the ways that retailers of the future will be standing out from the crowd. We hope you enjoy the show. And I'm joined now by James Hardiman, senior analyst at the BRC. James, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad with him. Not too bad at all. Thanks.
Good. Lovely. Yeah, good, mate. Good. Lovely to have you back on. I know you've been pretty busy over the last couple of weeks compiling and looking through all the data of the Christmas period. And that's obviously what we are going to talk about today. So getting into things, it was an eventful year for retail in 2021. But how did sales do for the end of the festive season?
Yeah, I mean, it was indeed an eventful year for retail, let's take it, 2021 overall. Going from lockdown to the first quarter and then coming out of that and the ramp up of the vaccine program doing really well, et cetera, et cetera. So sales for 2021 overall were actually really strong, 6.6%. So that's healthy growth. For December, we sort of rounded up the festive season fairly strong. We didn't hit the heights of the earlier months, but it did. We panned out at 2.1% year on year.
Okay.
So compared to the sort of lockdown affected December from the previous year, that was pretty strong. 4.7% up on the pre-pandemic December as well. So that was reassuring.
Mm.
Also, I mean, what was more pleasing to see for December really was a return to more, so you say, traditional spending patterns.
Sure.
Whereas the previous year, everything was in such flux and Black Friday wasn't really much of an event and people were really worried and we were in a tiered system and worried about when we were going to go into lockdown. But this year we really saw a sort of back, like a Black Friday spike and then the usual lull after that. And then the sort of ramping up as Christmas approaches or week on week, sales getting stronger and stronger and stronger, which is much more of what we'd expect from consumer behavior. So it's reassuring to see that really come back strong.
Mm.
So that was the most pleasing thing, I think.
There's we're going to touch in a second on especially the week or two before Christmas Day, but just before then, in terms of categories, do we have any particular standout performances in any categories in the run-up to Christmas?
Well, in a similar vein to the overall pattern, it was very much a return to the sort of traditional Christmas gifts, gifting areas. Clothing did well, as it's been doing for quite a while now. But also beauty did very well, fragrances in particular, as they're always a perennial favorite for gifts. Small electricals as well, those sort of gifts, and jewelry. So that really returned, those sort of things really returned with a bang, which is also reassuring.
So it was kind of more the, because I'm guessing, you know, in terms of the previous year, especially in lockdown, you know, fragrances and things like that, you're not exactly thinking about going out and spending your money on perfume. So
that's the thing. And even, like the previous year, we were only really able to meet up with, you know, people in your household.
Mm.
So there's only like the volume of gifts just was nowhere near.
Mm.
So people were sort of looking to enjoy themselves and actually splash out on friends and family again, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Since the shift to online retail was obviously accelerated during the pandemic, speaking logistics wise, how did retailers cope with all that extra demand?
This was sort of largely affected by the sort of the real increase in COVID cases in those sort of couple of weeks before Christmas. You know, the Omicron variant really played heavily on people's expectations. So a couple of weeks before Christmas, there's the sort of talk of the town was, when are we going to go into lockdown rather than if, and things like that. So the retailers had to really, or what we've heard from retailers is they really had to hedge their bets when it came to their stock levels. Oh. You know, if the shops were going to close, for example, which was a threat, where would they didn't want to leave too much stock in the stores, which then they couldn't use or would be very expensive to then ship out into their online site. So they kind of had to hedge their bets between the two a little bit, which did them no favors because obviously they had to increase their costs, but also it didn't really help the consumer because neither one was fully stocked. It did hamper things slightly in that regard.
Yeah. You mentioned there the Omicron variant, which is, you know, still a, you know, significant concern. There was obviously a sharp increase in COVID cases a week or two before Christmas Day. Did we see this hampering the sales? You know, did this bear out in the data?
It did to a certain degree. So the uncertainty that I already mentioned sort of did us no favours, did the consumers no favours. But what we really saw was in that sort of 10 days before Christmas, or the sort of 2 weeks before Christmas, people were reluctant to then go to the shops.
Sure.
Online did well and continues to do well, should I say. But people were reluctant to go to the shops and be around so many crowds and be around people to risk ruining their Christmas. Because obviously if they tested positive, then they wouldn't be able to then have to isolate.
Sure.
So we did see that hamper sales to a certain degree. Difficult to tell how much exactly, because sales are still increasing. And we heard that from retailers directly, that their footfall figures did take a hit in that little period before Christmas, as people were just worried about it.
So in terms of the shape of it's sort of to visualize it, you know, obviously there is that peak on the Black Friday, then it drops off a little bit and then it built up. Did we see then sales drop off in those last sort of week or two, or did it stay fairly strong?
We still saw it ramp up. Okay. We still saw it ramp up, but not as much as we would have expected.
Right. Okay. So we did see
that.
Okay. Yeah. And in the economy overall, there's been a lot of a talk of inflation. Do we think that this had a major effect on sales?
Well, this is, in a way, it's similar to the Omicron in certain regards, that it sort of created a little bit of uncertainty, but more uncertainty for the future.
Sure.
I think that people, yes, were worried about it and worried, but not immediately. I think people were determined to sort of enjoy their Christmas.
Mm.
So we didn't really see it hamper things that much, but people were reluctant to spend on larger goods. So those sort of larger items, furniture or large electrical equipment, things like that, those are what took the hit. So there was evidence of uncertainty, but I think that will probably ramp up now as we approach April and the next sort of cost of living increase looms ever larger.
Yes, indeed. If you, as the listener, want to get a more in-depth analysis of the Christmas period, you can find out more by going to our Insight Hub. You can find that at brc.org.uk and look for the BRC KPMG Retail Sales Monitor. That's where you can find all the detailed analysis. And I think, James, that's where we're going to leave the discussion for today. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, William. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Our thanks to James Hardiman there. And to reiterate, you can find the full in-depth Christmas analysis on brc.org.uk in our Insights Hub. Moving on now to our conversation with Matt Clark, Managing Director at Alex Partners. With over 20 years' experience in retail, helping businesses adapt to the challenges of international expansion, omnichannel strategy, and now tackling the issues created by COVID-19, we thought he'd be the best person to ask about the future of the industry and what might shape the retail landscape in 2022. We hope you enjoy the discussion. And I'm joined now by Matt Clark, head of EMEA Retail Practice and a managing director at Alex Partners. Alex Partners is a global management consultancy and experts in business transformation. Matt, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Good morning. Great to be here.
So, Matt, today we've heard a little bit earlier from our insights team on how Christmas has been for retailers, but I'd like to draw on your expertise to look forward. So the last couple of years have been seriously tricky times for retailers, to say the least. And a lot of our listeners will be working on how to plot the way forward through 2022 and beyond. So just to start things off, over the course of the pandemic, we've seen retailers grappling with a series of challenges, really. At the beginning, we saw lots of issues with supply chains. Then we moved on to managing changing rules on social distancing in stores. And obviously, as we're seeing at the moment, labor shortages brought on by the pandemic. I think it's fair to say that retailers have done a pretty incredible job in adapting, but ongoing uncertainty is definitely continuing to be a major concern. So what do you think retailers should be looking towards to help guide business decisions going forward, given the uncertain situation we still find ourselves in?
Yeah, I think this is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And you're right. The disruption that we've experienced over the last couple of years during the pandemic will continue. I mean, the well-documented consumer spend squeeze driven by tax rises, inflation, et cetera, is of course of an enormous concern. Mm. And some of that inflation is temporary, driven by demand and supply constraints. Some of it is more permanent. So that will be a factor moving forward for all retailers, of course. And then of course, you've also got real consumer behavior changes on the back of the pandemic to consider. And I guess what that leads us to is the need for super relevance in terms of value proposition, so that retailers really understand what their customers need. And some of those needs have changed, and really target their proposition for whether it be around, you know, low cost or convenience or category expertise, customization, curation, community, whatever it might be, but really understand those communities of their customers. And then you've also got a load of disruption coming from marketplace changes. So competition, discounters continuing to grow, online players continue to grow platforms, and the digital ecosystem becoming ever more complex and pervasive. So the sort of things that retailers should look to, I guess, would be three key things. Firstly, relevance, as I say, in terms of the value proposition. Secondly, agility. And the need to move fast has become, you know, the sort of life-saving skill in the retail industry over during the course of the pandemic, and we don't see that changing anytime soon. And then the next thing that's definitely on the page is next generation productivity, or the ways to really radically change the cost structure of a business to ensure that you give yourself the lifeblood, if you like, the time and the cash to be able to make decisions, change proposition, and act accordingly. So I think those are the three top tips, if you like.
You touched there on digital transformation. Obviously, that's something that we've actually discussed on the podcast before, but throughout the BRC, we've been focused on it for a long time now. The pandemic obviously has accelerated improvements on this side of the business, but I guess the key point there is that it is a process, and retailers don't want to be standing still in this space. We're already seeing some innovations from retailers pushing the boundaries on how they can set themselves apart. But what are some of the new ways that you're seeing retailers improve their digital offering to differentiate themselves from the competition?
Well, I think what we've seen over the last year or so is that people have become much more purposeful in how they've used data intelligence and digital innovation. So it's not just digital for digital's sake. It's linked firmly to the value proposition, the relevance to the customer, and very specific opportunities to improve automation or simplify businesses to improve profitability. So one of the things that I think that you have seen, I mentioned it earlier, is the digital ecosystem has become, you know, significantly more complex. And the players that are winning are the ones who have worked out to navigate that. Mm-hmm. Much more effectively. So you've got legacy retailers with online presence, you've got some marketplaces, some legacy, some born digital. You've got brands that have moved digital and brands that are born digital, but all of these guys are working out how to use influence engines, so that, you know, the Facebooks, Instagrams of the world, and influencers in terms of how they approach their customers much more effectively. So I think the from the sort of front end, and in terms of engaging with customers, the brands like, yeah, Nike, you know, have used their app, Sneakers, Run Club to build connection with communities and effectively bypass the retail channel to a much greater extent. And then, for example, at the back end, you know, the organizations like H&M are much more purposeful about how they use their stores as a part of a digital ecosystem. So retailers are starting to use digital insight to really look at their entire network and their ability to reach their customers in a much more effective way, and stores becoming much more multi-purpose in terms of digital hubs, as well as just being, you know, distribution points in of themselves. One of the other interesting things that we're starting to see, which is sort of links to activist investors and people looking at how to generate value from digital businesses, is e-separation, as it's called. You know, this you've seen it in the US with Saks, and now Macy's considering it, where they separate their digital business from their bricks and mortar business to generate greater enterprise value, but also to flip their business to become digital platform led rather than bricks and mortar led. And you can imagine seeing more of that, partly investor driven, but also partly driven by the need to accelerate digital leadership in terms of thinking for businesses. So those sort of things you could see coming more and more to the fore as well over the course of the next year.
On that topic, and this is a bit of a tricky one, but given how much emphasis we're seeing retailers put on that digital offering side of things, what role are you seeing for the physical store, I should say, going forward? You know, we're obviously seeing, well, we've seen a lot of store closures over the course of the pandemic, but now we're sort of, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, emerging from the sort of lockdowns that we've seen over the last couple of years. Are we maybe seeing a different role for the sort of brick and mortar stores, and what they can sort of mean within the business?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, this is a journey. And the answer to your question really depends on the specific category and the needs of the customers of the individual brand. So the sort of categorization in general, and this is a generalization, is wants and needs. So where you have needs, which is, you know, must purchase and largely commoditized products, that obviously lends itself to online, and therefore you would expect store space dedicated to those type of products and those type of shopping missions to reduce over time. But there's always going to be a space for experience, and particularly in these sort of product areas, categories around wants, where you want to get advice, you want to compare, you want to touch and feel the product before you purchase it. There will always be a reason for stores in those type of categories, and certain customers obviously will really value that experience as part of the shopping mission. So it the answer is it depends. And it really goes back to what I said earlier. So retailers being super laser focused on what their value proposition is that is relevant to their groups of customers that they are trying to serve, and then designing their network, whether that be, you know, stores or their digital presence or their use of social media partnerships, etc., which is a massive trend, to access those consumers in the right way as we move forward.
So Matt, this is a slightly tricky one, crystal ball moment here, but if you were to rank what you sort of saw as the top three things that will be shaping consumer sentiment this year, what do you think they might be?
Yeah, always difficult to do crystal ball gazing, and that's certainly, I've learned that over the last couple of years. But I think given the squeeze on consumer spend, I think number one is definitely going to be value. That, you know, to see old chestnut, never goes away, but it's going to be particularly relevant as we go over the course of the next year, given all the pressures that we know about. Number two will be convenience and just giving people what they want when they want and not overburdening them with choice. So the ability to curate an offer. And number three, which I think is a really mixed picture, is the whole sustainability angle, ESG angle. Where we're seeing obviously a lot of share of mind from sustainability, and it's become a real hot topic and almost table stakes for many brands and for consumers. But if you look at actual purchase intent and the data of how many consumers use sustainability to actually guide their choice of what they're buying, it's still pretty small, to be honest. So compared to the other three, I think the other two, it's definitely there is a consideration, but it's not driving consumer purchase choices at the moment. But we would expect it to become just like part of business as usual as we move forward. So it becomes almost a hygiene factor. So if you haven't got the right level of ethical sustainability credentials within your products and your brand, then you just become a non-choice for consumers. But at the moment, not driving consumer purchase decisions per se.
And I think that's where we'll leave the discussion for today. So, Matt, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. Also, for the listeners, you can find out more about the work of Alex Partners by visiting them on alexpartners.com. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have on this, the first episode of Radio Retail for 2022. If you want to get in touch about the podcast, you can email me at william.madison@brc.org.uk. And to find out more about everything we do at the BRC, please do visit us on brc.org.uk. That's it for today. Goodbye for now.